This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Report yet. We're seeing some of the same top line summaries that that you folks have seen. I want to talk a little bit about one of the parts that I've seen, though, that deals beyond coverage, and that deals with premium costs. One of the things we've said about this proposal from the very beginning was that we believed, for some reasons that have been basic tenets of Republican conservative thought for a long time, that competition lowers costs. And what the CBO just told us is that's exactly right. The numbers that I've seen in the first glance is that the CBO says that premiums will go down by at least 10% with this plan. So it just confirms a lot of things that Tom and I have been talking about publicly, which is that we really do think that these ideas of taking market competition, putting it back into healthcare, getting government out of the way, will do what it does in healthcare, what it does with everything else. Every place else where the market is allowed to function, quality goes up and costs go down. And what I think if you look for something the CBO may have gotten right in this report, it's that the premiums are actually going to come down in cost.
Well, as the president warned, it's not going to be an overnight deal. This is going to be a process in much the same way as Obamacare. We had to, as Nancy Pelosi said, we had to pass it to find out what was in it. Surprise. Kind of like Jack in the Box, wasn't it? You heard the music. You knew the little character was going to come out of the box sooner or later. And, it definitely did. And, here we are dealing with this stuff. But, seriously, this all contributes. And I think, as Liz Peek was saying in the last hour, is that, some of this policy stuff gets a little wonky. And it's against our nature because we're, we want it right away. We don't want to deal with due process. And I can appreciate, Paul Ryan. I mean, she said he's very measured. He's playing the game. He sees the rules and he's a rule follower. I mean, he sees the rules and says, okay, these are the rules and this is how we need to do it. Now, I think that what needs to complement Paul Ryan is somebody on the other side. That says, that comes alongside and says, okay, we're heading to the same direction. We want to accomplish this deal, but we need to we can attack this from different angles and still accomplish it. And by that, I'm suggesting that there needs to be someone whose eye is on the ball to actually, get this passed however way we can. And, that is that you have Paul Ryan saying, okay, here's the wonky way to do it. These are the rules. But let's have somebody who's going to champion the cause on behalf of we the people and say, okay, well, why is there a problem with us doing something other than what the rules dictate? I mean, last time I checked, we're the majority here. We've got an advantage. Do you think the Democrats would not take advantage of their strength and the political capital they have, the mandate that they were in the name of the people that elected them, that gave them the majority, that they were saying, year after year, hey, as soon as we get this, we're going to make it so much better. And now here that they've got it, it's like, wow. you go, what's happening here, guys? It's not like this just happened 2 weeks ago. I mean, this has been going on. You've been, chomping at the bit for 7 years, just about. And, you sound a little discombobulated. You're not, there's something you could learn from the Democrats, and they know how to, they pass out the hymn book and say, okay, here's the song, and this is the verse we're all singing, and you just stay to it. No matter what happens, no matter what the Republicans say, no matter how much veracity there is going to be in their questioning, this is the verse. Here's the chapter. Here's the songbook. Don't deviate from it. Republicans, oh gosh, no. Let's just create more consternation and more confusion. And let's just, as if Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and everybody else is, they're not juggling enough. Let's just add some more balls to the experience. And how about flaming swords? Can you handle some flaming swords while you're juggling all this? And oh, by the way, what time is it? It's just absolutely ludicrous. But there's no strategy here, and I think that's what you're hearing from the, you know, in terms of frustration that we the people are feeling right now, is that it seems, yeah, it's not very sexy watching the sausage being made. I understand that. But, you know, can we do it a little bit better?
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Got to keep our eye on the ball, ladies and gentlemen. This is so doggone important. And I appreciate you staying in the fight with us. And, you know, be wary of all this fake news that's out there, this, you know, this ideological fight that has taken place. I know. You get worn out and you got to deflect it. But this is the process. And especially in light of this, you know, information age in which we live in, is that you have to really measure this information and say, does it add or take away? Is there veracity? Is there veritas there? Or is it just an ideologue spouting off another perspective? An unsubstantiated perspective at that. Peter Pitts is with us. He's president, co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest from 2002 to 04. Peter was FDA's associate commissioner for external relations, serving as a senior communications and policy advisor to the commissioner. He supervised FDA's Office of Public Affairs, Office of Ombudsman, Office of Special Health Issues, Office of Executive Secretary. See, this is why he could only do this for 2 years. He was just, you were supervisorial heavy there, Peter Pitts.
It changed my life and it almost ruined my marriage, but it was definitely worth it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad that all is well there. But, and that's the thing, you know, what people give up in the service of the people, and we appreciate your service on behalf of We the People. But yeah, I mean, our families can take a big hit.
Well, yeah, you really have to be careful that, you know, government does a lot of things very well, but you really have to watch out for mission creep when they try to do too much. And I think one of the things we learned from Obamacare was that, you know, making government Uncle Sam MD isn't really in anybody's interest. And that's why we are where we are today.
And as you report, this whole fake news thing has really, it's impacted, it's crept into every aspect of our life and the news reporting that's out there, but even more so with this healthcare debate, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many sound bites out there that politicians keep repeating that just basically aren't true. I mean, the one that I spend a lot of time talking about is, you know, the quote-unquote drug prices are too high. And when people say that, what they mean is that when they go to the pharmacy, and they get their medicines given to them by the pharmacist, their copay is too high. And I totally agree with that. But, you know, drug companies don't set copays. Insurance companies do. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing called pharmacy benefit managers who negotiate prices on behalf of a lot of companies. And their profits per prescription, if you can believe this or not, since 2013, have gone up 500%. Wow. So, you know, where's the money going? How do we make it transparent? And how do we start controlling it? You know, so the truth, you know, really is a good place to start with a lot of these conversations.
Well, Peter, there's, you know, some light brought to this issue, and I'm glad that you're on right now because it's perfect timing because we're hearing more about this, that this one doctor in particular, and he's set up other five like-minded institutions or service centers for people in different parts of the country, and they're able to renegotiate, their drug prices. And he's saying that, they're getting as much as a 90% discount. So to your point, there is a lot of fat in these prices, whether you want to call it copay or just paying, straight up. I mean, because for me, we were discussing this earlier with Liz Peek, our family, we've been on cash and carry with doctors even before Obamacare. We've been doing that for about almost 12, 15 years.
Well, that's exactly right. And, when you realize that drug companies give pharmacies and insurance companies 50% or more discounts, that should be visible to the consumer when they go to the pharmacy.
Right.
And obviously we live in a free market economy. We don't want price controls, but the more people are aware, like you said, the better they can negotiate, and that's how the system works.
Well, when it's that far off, when you're telling me that you have that much room in a situation where there's entities out there negotiating a 90% discount. Now, and maybe it's not all across the board, but the fact that it even exists, to some degree, but they're saying, across the board, there are substantial just in drug pricing alone in negotiating that.
That's right. Sure. You're looking at a lot of insurance companies that are getting 50% or more discount on these prices, and they pocket the difference. They don't pass those savings along to the consumer. In the form of lower copays or in terms of if you're paying out of your pocket, lower costs at point of purchase. That's just wrong. Mm-hmm. And as a result, people get upset. They don't understand what's going on. And for example, they also don't understand that generic drug prices, which is 85% of the market in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
generic drugs are cheaper in the U.S., believe it or not, than they are in Canada or Europe. So people keep saying, why are drugs so much less expensive in Canada and Europe? But the fact of the matter is that by volume, 85% of the drugs in the market in the U.S. are cheaper.
Wow.
Again, these are complicated things that politicians don't like complicated things. They like simple answers. They like good guys and bad guys. And the other piece of this puzzle is that fake news is driving people to look for evildoers when the fact is we all have to work together to make these problems go away and provide access to high quality care.
Well, there seems to be, at least at this point, Obamacare was, a personality of its own, good observation, wrong conclusion, the way I look at it. But here we have a chance to do it over, and we've got the body. We're opening up the body. Are they willing to have enough transparency on this deal so that we can really get some world-class, a world-class delivery of health care for we the people?
Well, I think that we absolutely have to. That's the key point, because what we learned from Obamacare was that a top-down system where the government tells you that you have to have health care and you're going to be fined if you don't, and they're going to also tell you what types of plans you can have with all sorts of things that people either don't need or don't want. And we're changing that to a bottom-up system where people are going to get the resources to buy the insurance programs they want that best suit their needs. And will some people make bad choices? They will. That's human nature.
Right.
But just like with the Part D drug benefit for Medicare, many Democrats said, "Oh, it's impossible. Seniors can't possibly pick their own drug plan. It's going to be a disaster." And the result is that seniors love it. It's got a 90% approval rating, higher actually, and it's coming in under budget. So good, solid education allows people to make good choices for themselves. And that's true, especially when it comes to, I think, somebody's health.
Well, we find that to be the case time and again when you empower the people. The people, like what? You're going to look to your senator, your congressman to make a health care choice for yourself with all the – these guys are more seem to be more concerned about their time off than it is doing the people's business, and their hands are full already. Why would they want the job of worrying about my health care?
Well, what really irks me, and maybe this is just because I've been around too long and I'm getting grumpy, is that when Obamacare was being debated, Nancy Pelosi, who was Speaker of the House at the time, said that there was no time to read the bill. We passed the bill, and then we would see what would happen once the bill went into effect.
Right.
Well, we unfortunately did see that, and now she wants people to read the Republican bill and stall it. The gall is just overwhelming.
Well, Peter, just reading the bill, the comparison between the two, I couldn't get past the first five pages of Obamacare I mean, the point counterpoint, it was purposely confusing. I mean, to hear Jonathan Gruber, they designed it that way, had built-in obsolescence and confusion to go along with it. I think the reason Nancy Pelosi didn't read the bill either is because she probably got as frustrated as anybody else trying to read the bill to make sense out of it. Because even if you're an attorney, I think you'd still have a hard time understanding what it is they were doing. But we knew that there was potential gamesmanship in it, no doubt about it. Peter Pitts is with us. We've got more from Peter. Stay with us.
At certain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
President Trump is cleaning up Washington, but the media and Barack Obama want to stop him. They've declared total war against him. Now, David Horowitz's big agenda reveals Obama's secret plan to destroy Trump. Rush Limbaugh says you must read Big Agenda. Newsmax calls it the best Trump book yet. Get Big Agenda, a number one bestseller, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go online at BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Founding Fathers said, look, at the U.S. Constitution was designed for moral people. There has to be a moral code in order for our U.S. Constitution to work. And that's been the pushback. And it's also, I believe, the difference that it made in this election in November. is that we had people with a moral code that came out in record numbers, and I would say save this country. Peter Pitts is with us right now, president, co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Been looking forward to talk to Peter because of, you know, the drug pricing issue, the news that's out there. All these things, Peter, you know, contribute to the delivery of world-class health care, along with tort reform, the way in which we deliver health care today. And, you know, we have I think we have another shot at it. You know, I've often said that experience defines preference. We've learned a lot. You know, I'm not one to say, hey, let's throw out Obamacare and, you know, because we're upset with it and all the stuff that happened. I think we've learned some things in the last 7 years of Obamacare. Maybe a lot of it is how to get it wrong. But if we know what's wrong, you know, the wrong side, maybe we can figure out the right side. What do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you don't want to say that Obamacare didn't provide anything good. There were a lot of good things in the bill, and a lot of those good things had been taken up in the Republican bill that's currently in front of Congress, allowing your children to be on your health plan until they're 26, not turning anybody away from insurance because of pre-existing conditions. That makes a lot of sense. And it begins to point to the need that people need to be able to design their own health care for their own needs. You know, you don't, a one-size-fits-all universal coverage single-payer system won't work in this country. It works in very few countries. In fact, I can't think of one country where it works extremely well. You know, this is a country based on a free market economy. It's based on a philosophy of self-empowerment. I think that's the way we need to design our healthcare system.
Peter, let me ask you that, you know, with the legislatures, legislator, you know, most of these elected officials that we have making the laws for us are our attorneys. Are they ready for some tort reform here?
Well, you know, I'd like to say yes, but unfortunately, I think the answer is no. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, and if you're an attorney, the last thing you want is tort reform. You know, lawyers like to have it every which way to Sunday. They want to be able to do whatever they want. They've got a lot of money to spend against that. And I think that also, I mean, obviously it's got a lot of negative consequences, not the least of which is the expense it adds to our healthcare system through medical malpractice.
Exactly. Well, we have a situation, I've been mentioning this, with Dr. Alita Eck, her and her husband in upstate New York, just with the elimination of malpractice insurance, they're able to deliver healthcare to the poor people up there, you know, maybe 10, 15 bucks. That's it, you know, a visit. So it's huge just what that can do. And, of course, we found out what happened with George W. Bush. And I think it was 2005 when he went to Congress, said, look, we need to really address tort reform. And they all but tarred and feathered him. So, I guess, you know, that tells you all you need to know, right?
You know, it's a powerful lobby. And I think, you know, going back to the issue we were talking about earlier, transparency, the American public needs to understand what these powerful lobbies are, what they're doing, why they're doing it.
Exactly.
Importantly, why it's in their best interest to put a stop to it, or at least put some rules in place that make them play fair.
Well, the thing that's so difficult is our government is loaded up with this kind of influence, the K-Street influence that exists in the rulemaking, the future of senators and congressmen. They're beholden. And, you know, this is, I think, one of the reasons people were charmed by Donald Trump, is they said, wow, we got somebody who's a non-politician who's not beholden. And, in fact, he's not even going to take a salary. I think he's got to take a dollar a year or something. But, you know, you can have your money back. You know, so it's kind of refreshing, you know, when you have somebody that's disconnected and willing to be about the people's business. And he's not looking at a political position as a another rung up the career ladder.
I think that's accurate. But I think you also have to be fair to the men and women who work for the government. You know, they generally are, they're trying to do the right thing. And even though, I mean, certainly from an FDA perspective, you may not agree with the decisions that the FDA makes, but I'll tell you, the people that work there are on personal public health missions. They take their jobs, you know, exceptionally serious. You know, they're really in it for the public good. The goal is to get people in place that can point them in the right direction. Otherwise, they kind of keep on keeping on.
Well, you need to have that leadership. Yeah, you need to have that leadership in place if it's a systemic issue and it's been inculcated with people that are more self-interested than interested in the people's business and benefiting them. It's got to be real frustrating if you are in one of these operations where the order of the day is, hey, let's just see what's in it for us, and really not doing the job. Because my father used to always say I was the eternal optimist, but I think that people are happier when they're doing their job and fulfilling their mission, which is to serve the people. And when you start cutting edges and cheating, fudging, it impacts the moral fiber of any institution. And I think this is all part of that, as you say, a part of the transparency vernacular that needs and filter that needs to be considered, you know, throughout the operation. You know, Trump talks about it in terms of draining the swamp, but it's almost like a readjustment in the mental psyche of our government and the way it operates.
And not just our government, every government all yes. around the world, same
well,
problem. And this yeah. is not going to happen overnight or in 4 years.
No.
I think people have to recognize that if they really want this dynamic to change, this is a beginning.
Well,
and there are tough decisions to make, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and Peter, you know, we want to talk about the new FDA commissioner, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, that I've heard just, you know, outstanding things about. And we can get great leaders in place, but if we don't have great followers, you know, again, to your point, you know, this bogs down. But we've got a new FDA commissioner here that, you know, a lot of people speak very highly of.
Yeah, in fact, I served with Scott for 2 years, and we were both at FDA, and he's a smart guy. You know, he's a physician. And I think importantly, obviously, he's got the technical skills, but what people don't recognize is that he knows the people, he understands the process, and that's how you get things done with the bureaucracy. You know, you have to get the senior staff to buy into your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got the skill set to do that. And so it's not just about from the bringing drugs to market more quickly perspective, but also being able to bring drugs to market through a more predictable process. Because when the process is predictable, when you reduce the ambiguity,
mm-hmm.
people have faith to invest in new programs. And that's, you know, that's something that I think Scott can accomplish.
Across the board, can you imagine? I mean, this is what we're doing, is we're taking some of these you know, confusing and mysterious nuances that are getting in the way of our productivity and people being able to function properly, right?
Exactly. And at the end of the day, it's not about corporate profits, though corporate profits are important because corporate profits pay for innovation. It's about how does it impact the lives of citizens. And I think that if we keep that close to the front of our thinking every single day, then you begin to, you know, chip away at this entrenched bureaucracy that exists almost for its own sake sometimes.
It's part of that that mental perspective and adjustment that needs to take place. You know, there's no doubt, you know, people, you know, taking stands and demonstrating, talking about the greed of America. You know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, well, that's the 99 against the 1%. I mean, what validity is there, you know, in their stance, in their protest? They may not do it perfectly or the way you would expect it, but there's something wrong here in River City. And I think it's time for leaders and institutions to take a pause themselves and just say, you know, can we look at the very soul of our operations and answer the proposition in a way that's win-win, you know, for all of us, where we can make a profit because we need your expertise and we need you to be profitable and continue on with your research. But also, can we deliver world-class healthcare or pharmaceuticals in such a way that the people are saying, you know, hey, we're glad you're here.
Hear, hear. I certainly agree with that.
Well, Peter, thank you so much again for your service to this country, what you did there, and then also in staying in touch and keeping us aware of what is happening in our government, especially as we continue to move forward. And it's a bit cumbersome because there's a lot involved here with the delivery of world-class health care in America, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Peter Pitts, president, co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Keep up the great work, Peter. Thank you so much for being with us. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by SC Johnson. Did you know that the Amazon region produces 20% of the world's breathable oxygen? The Amazon rainforest is one of the world's most vital life support systems. From its role as the world's largest watershed to the fact that its trees act as the lungs of the earth, people need Amazonia to thrive. Every year, an estimated 3.7 million acres of the Amazon disappear due to deforestation. But there is something you can do to help. SC Johnson is joining forces with Conservation International to stop this trend one acre at a time. Protecting an acre of tropical forest costs just $25. And for every acre saved by you, SC Johnson will double donations to save a total of 10,000 acres. Join us by protecting one acre of land for $25. And together, we can help make a positive impact for future generations. For more information about the Acre for Acre Match and to view the new Conservation International VR film Under the Canopy, visit conservation.org/canopy.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call miniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, lest you forget, that's our job. We're going to keep it up front and, noted because it's that important. Carlin Bowman is with us, senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute. I love her research areas. I mean, there's so much depth and information and things that she works on. She compiles, analyzes American public opinion using available polling data on a variety of subjects, including the economy, taxes, state of workers in America, environment and global warming, attitudes about homosexuality and gay marriage, NAFTA, free trade, the war in Iraq, women's attitudes. Carlin, you and I could be here for the whole week just covering your research areas.
I'm a generalist. There's no question about that. I sometimes call myself the dilettante of data because I'm jumping across so many different fields. But it's a wonderful job. I just feel so grateful to be at AEI.
Yeah, what a great opportunity. I mean, it makes for an interesting day because it's not the same day, is it?
Absolutely, no. Yeah. Today we'll be focusing on something new once again, on how people are reacting to the health care bill. And in a few days we'll be looking at the Gorsuch nomination. So it's always changing.
Right. Just all kinds of fun. But I want to talk to you particularly about America's perception of President Trump and his foreign policy. What is your polling data telling us?
Well, we've looked at a lot of polls, and we find that Americans are pretty dissatisfied with the position of the United States in the world today. About two-thirds of us give that response, and that's been true for some time. And we think that we're not particularly viewed favorably around the globe. And people have some doubts about Donald Trump's stewardship of foreign affairs, no question about it. I remember back to the Reagan years, people thought Reagan was trigger-happy, likely to get the country in a war, and so his early marks also were very low in terms of handling foreign policy. And I think that's generally true of Donald Trump. His marks are a lot lower than Obama's, George W. Bush's, or Bill Clinton at the beginning of their presidency. Of course, it's really early, and we shouldn't make any final judgments, but I think people are a little concerned about his stewardship.
Well, like all these, this polling information, it's a snapshot. And I always say with these polls, and it drives me nuts with some of these leaders that want to, you know, be so fixated on the polls tell you where you are. The next question is, where is it that you want to go? And
exactly.
that's leadership to take you from where you are to where you need to be. And I think these polls give you that opportunity to address those issues as opposed to just trying to negate the polls and say, well, they're irrelevant or, you know, they prejudice the polling or whatever. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they're a crude tool. There's no question about that. A blunt tool, but they can tell you a lot about a complex public, particularly if you track them over time and look at how attitudes are changing over time. But they shouldn't be used to make policy. You're absolutely right. They're too crude for that purpose. But they give you a snapshot of where you are, and then you can think about where you want to go. And I think Mr. Trump is certainly beginning to do that, perhaps a little bit more than he did at the very beginning of his administration.
Well, he needs more success. I always say there's nothing like success to come, I guess the best form of revenge is success. And right now with the narrative, so much anti-Trump. I don't know if you saw that video that was just released as a rap video from Snoop Dogg.
I read about it. I didn't see it. Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting. But, you know, all this stuff contributes. It's almost like, well, Snoop Dogg, why don't you just shoot yourself in the foot and everybody else? I mean, we're a country is off track. We're talking about the future of our country. And, you know, what are you doing? How are you helping to solve the problem by agitating, you know, people's emotions even further and trying to invalidate Trump, invalidating to the point that you just want him to be, you know, even in your video, non-existent?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was pretty rough video from what I read about it.
Yeah. But you know, it contributes to the culture and the sentiment, and we've got a lot of that flying around right now. But I want to say, hey, look, it's we've been saying this, that there's a lot of heavy lifting required. Are you carrying your fair share?
Exactly. I think that's really important. And you're right, more people do disapprove than approve of the job that Trump's doing, but it's really very early. The one area where they seem to have more confidence in him is on handling jobs and handling the economy, and he's been talking a lot about that, and that's really a central concern for most Americans. And so, we've got a long way to go in this presidency, and I think any judgments at this point would be really premature. I mean, people want him to be successful in the economy and in foreign policy, too, but at least at this point, the marks on handling the jobs and employment situation are higher than handling foreign policy.
Carlin, it's beyond want. We need him to be successful. You know?
We need our presidents to be successful, no question about it, absolutely.
And especially where we are right now with all that we're dealing with, whether it's health care, whether it's managing the borders, people who come into this country. We see what's happening in Europe, no borders. They can come and go, and terrorism is running rampant there. We have people that have declared war on America, and for some reason, we're just like not paying attention. President Trump seems to be noting this, and certainly with the people that he's surrounded himself with these generals, not necessarily that they're going to go and shoot up the West or anything, but they're a little bit more vigilant and mindful of these threats.
Oh, clearly some of the cabinet appointees, particularly in the area of defense and foreign policy, I think are very impressive. And General Mattis is very well liked across the board at the Defense Department. And so I think he's really appointed some very good people. There's no question about it. And I think that they are going to take the foreign policy challenges around the globe very seriously. And there are many of them. I mean, there are just so many right now.
Well, I think what Trump is realizing in his first 100 days is that this government's a lot more complicated than what he thought. It's not a boardroom meeting where you can just say you're fired. A little
Absolutely.
Bit of that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you've got to get through the process here. You've got people that, you know, they got along without you before they met you, and they're going to get along without you now, you know, and
Absolutely.
They're going to keep moving, right?
Absolutely, and that's what we're already seeing. I mean, he's got a lot of support in Congress, but he's got some strong opponents, too, as we've mm-hmm. seen in the initial discussions of the health care bill. I mean, some of the conservatives in the Senate are just simply saying that they're not going to vote for it. They want mm-hmm. peer repeal. I personally don't think that's a very good idea, but I think he's learning. It's really tough dealing with Congress. Every president learns that lesson.
Well, leadership is a rare commodity at this level. It gets worn down, and but Donald Trump, because he's not so beholden and he doesn't have the case rate influence and some of these other interest groups. I mean, I think we're all influenced by certain people, you know, for whatever reason. But he seems to have a little bit less than any other president, you know, that has been in the Oval Office before him. And maybe, you know, he looks at it in such a way to where, why not? I mean, you know, for him to walk away from everything that he walked away, his family, his business, his life, to invest it on behalf of the country, wow, you know, that's a personal decision, and he seems to be very well committed to this, but I'm sure that some of his inner circle friends go, what were you thinking?
I'm sure they do, too. I thought his State of the Union address was really, and many people say that he really drafted most of it himself, was mm-hmm. he really gave a sense of where he wanted to take the country, and it's not surprising that the people who listened to this speech or read it gave it pretty good reviews. Now, usually people of the president's party are the ones listening to the major speeches, so you mm-hmm. have to be careful in interpreting the polls in that way, but those reviews of those who watched the speech were pretty positive.
Carlin, the last 2 minutes of that speech, I would post it on something. I would make it. I mean, this is the mission of our country. It is the vision that he has for us. I thought the way he summed it up was excellent. It was encouraging. It was something that you could say, oh, OK, let's go get it. You know, let's go make it happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but like any, as you know, the number one job of a CEO is you got to pound the mission drum. You got to let the people know where you're going and how you're getting there and how you're doing along the way in the steps, the incremental steps that are taking place, the, you know, the bloodletting, the resources, the extra time. And, you know, we just talked with Peter Pitts and, you know, he gave up 2 years and the impact that it had on his family. You got to have this sense that it's all worthwhile, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to be a voice of encouragement because I believe this is what our government needs right now. It needs encouragement. And part of that core word is courage. It needs courage for a time such as this to take on, you know, whether it's health care, our foreign policy issues, the threats that abound about this country right now. It's going to take a lot of courage. And I just pray that we have the leaders in place to do it for such a time as this. Carlin Bowman has been our guest with the American Enterprise Institute. Carlin, thank you so much.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep.
However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-bees. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, what a novel concept, right, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, who better to take care of yourself than you? Why not? You know, this has been part of the challenge that we've been raised on for the last several decades, is that you have the government of everything that supposedly can handle everything. Except when you need them to handle just that one thing, right? Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I know I probably confused you here a little bit, but this is why we have Akash Chugli with us, because he can straighten all this stuff out. Director of Policy at Americans for Prosperity. In this role, he oversees all of AFP's state policy advocacy efforts with a focus on labor, health care, education, and tax policy. Akash, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much. I want to talk about the Obamacare replacement. A lot of people are talking about it, understandably so. You know, I want to get your read on where we are right now.
Well, I guess the way I would frame it from a very high level is that the Republicans are bad, but the Democrats are even worse. So, as your listeners all know, Obamacare has failed miserably. That's canceled millions of plans, raised premiums year after year. Millions of people can't see their own doctor. Unfortunately, the Republican framework that they rolled out last week does not get rid of the worst parts of Obamacare. It replaces one entitlement with another. It keeps the Medicaid expansion wide open for another 3 years. It maintains the onerous federal regulations of Obamacare. It keeps the Cadillac tax. These are the main things that were driving up costs, making low-cost insurance unavailable and unaffordable. We think what they should do is go back to the drawing board, repeal Obamacare entirely like they voted to do That's 15 months ago. Then after the president's death, clean the slate, and let's go from there on free market health care reform.
Why do they feel they have to do both? Is it just because it becomes even more of a wedge issue and the Democrats, are they afraid of the Democrats that the Democrats, okay, great, now you repealed it, and look how good you are that you haven't replaced it. Is that the deal?
Well, I think that nobody really wants to go back to the pre-Obamacare status quo. That simply was not working for too many people. They couldn't afford access to good health care. They couldn't afford health insurance. Unfortunately, the Democrats got so caught up in this conversation of just putting a plastic insurance card in everybody's pocket and calling it a day. They did nothing to actually drive down the cost of care. So then the Republicans, in seeking to remedy this problem, seem to have unfortunately gotten caught in the middle of those two pressing issues, one of which is cost control, the other is coverage access. Both are important. We think controlling costs is ultimately should be the goal of health care reform. Their bill failed to do so. That's why, in the middle of all these disagreements, our call is pretty simple. Do what you promised. For the past 8 years, they have run on repealing Obamacare. Let's do that. Get that to President Trump's desk. He'll sign it, and then we can start discussing free market health care reforms one at a time once we have removed the framework of Obamacare from the picture.
So your position is by repealing it, I mean, it's not going to – I mean, at least you fulfilled your promise, number one, and I agree with you on that. But that it's not like the world's going to stop just because we've repealed Obamacare, right?
No, of course not. And I think that one thing that's being thrown around by the media and the left, who are essentially one and the same far too often, is that we're going to repeal Obamacare immediately and millions of people are going to be thrown off their health insurance and it's going to be misery. Nobody is suggesting that. Even the 2015 repeal bill that got to President Obama's desk, that had a two-year implementation period for repeal that once passed gave the Republicans, gave Congress 2 years to put together some free market health care solutions. It's not as though full repeal was going to affect the day after they vote on it. Of course, nobody is going to think of doing anything like that. But we think they should live up to their promise, which is a shockingly rare, you know, rare occurrence here in Washington, repeal Obamacare, and then take votes on some of these ideas that there seems to be consensus on, even across party lines. When you look at things like health savings account reform, Medicaid block grant, insurance regulation, these are things that should be voted on, discussed one at a time, instead of being all crammed into one big bill the way the Democrats did and the way Republicans are trying to do now.
Well, you know, it gets a bit cumbersome, as you're suggesting here. And, of course, Paul Ryan understands this stuff. I mean, he's the policy wonk on this. So he just loves this kind of stuff. Well, it's driving the rest of us nuts because, you know, it's all procedural. It's strategic. I understand why he presented it the way it is, because the whole issue of reconciliation, and you've got to approach this. But, you know, I think myself and others are saying, you've got the numbers in your favor. You got a mandate from the people. If the rules don't fit, change the rules, right?
Well, I think that they don't even really need to change the rules. Exactly what you said, which is that through this budget reconciliation process, and I'm going to get a little bit Washington wonky on your listeners here, through the budget reconciliation process, they can only do things that have an impact on the deficit. That means anything that has to do with taxes and spending. But even so, like that 2015 repeal bill, they can get rid of basically the biggest parts of Obamacare with no Democrat vote. With 51 Republicans in the Senate and, of course, their House majority, they can get rid of the mandates, get rid of the taxes, get rid of the subsidies, get rid of what's driving up the cost of health insurance, what's hurting taxpayers. They don't need any Democrat votes to do so. Let's do that. Let's do what we promised. And then let's put the onus on the Democrats to start advancing some of these Republican reforms, conservative free market reforms one at a time, because I think we can get 60 votes on things like health savings account expansion, you know, reduction in insurance regulation, Medicaid block grant, some of these things. These
are selling across state lines. Democrats have already said we're in.
Yeah, exactly. That's another perfect example of something that's a common sense solution. But unfortunately, Speaker Ryan and other Republicans on the Hill are muddled in this debate of trying to do it all one at a time. And it's worth pointing out here that even the Ryan plan has elements that will eventually need 60 votes. He says this is phase one, is reconciliation. Phase two is through the Department of Health and Human Services. And then phase three does need 60 votes to do things like buying across state lines. Unfortunately, this plan just has too much federal government control. Still, we think they should go back to the drawing board, repeal Obamacare, and let's go.
Well, to your point here, Akash, I mean, the Republicans are really, I mean, they've got an opportunity here to, you know, do some great things. And they also have an opportunity to really mess this thing up, too. And what lies in the future, if they're really concerned about the party themselves, is the reelection of Donald Trump. If they don't get this right, he's a one-term president, and forget about that. But if they get it right, you've got Trump being reelected, and then you've got the pave way for Michael Pence.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. Of course, healthcare is very difficult. It's very complicated. Look what it did to Hillary Clinton back in the 90s. Look what it did to President Obama. Well, the Republicans, what's really confusing here is that look at the wave the Republicans have had in 2010 for the House, 2014 for the Senate, 2016 for the White House. Issue number one, every single time Republicans had these waves, they ran on repealing Obamacare. And now when they finally have the opportunity to do so, they're getting cold feet. It might be because of these town halls we saw back in their home districts over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think the message is fairly simple, which is not to let the screaming of the protesters drown out the voice of the people who put you there in the first place.
Exactly. Well, why wouldn't the people be upset? I mean, like that one lady, look at, I pay a dollar for my health care. You're not going to charge me any more than that, you know. So, yeah, you've got the grief to happiness ratio there and some adjustment that's going to be made for people that, you know, were given programs like that at the expense of everybody else. And they have to know, I mean, you know, if they have a reasonable moment, that that's not fair. And this is part of this is what leadership does. This is what you know, works against the Republicans when they're divided and they just they want to argue the process. I mean, they could learn from the Democrats. The Democrats, well, when they set a party line, boy, they all get the same chapter, the same verse, and that's what they talk about. But the Republicans, oh no, just, you know, we're just going to have a food fight over all this stuff and continue arguing over it.
That's exactly right. I mean, Democrats are a lot better at towing the line. That's sort of just what collectivism means. But, you know, I think to your point, we are being cognizant, and Republicans, to their credit in Congress, are being cognizant of not wanting to throw anybody off insurance that they gained, even if funded by other taxpayers, other insurance payers. But there is a way to repeal Obamacare without doing so. Let me give you a perfect example is the Medicaid expansion, which Obamacare basically upended one-sixth of the economy to do nothing but massively expand the Medicaid program.
Exactly.
The primary driver of insurance, a simple way to repeal the Medicaid expansion without throwing anybody off, and states have done this before. Arizona has done this. Maine has done this. You freeze enrollment in the Medicaid expansion. You shut the front door. No more enrollees, but those enrollees who are already on Medicaid expansion, they are allowed to stay with the, you know, with the inflated federal match rate for an extended period of time. You have what's called an off-ramp. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, however long you want to make it, you add in things like work requirements, premium support, and eventually the vast majority of them do cycle off on their own as their income grows, which, after all, is the point of a welfare program, is to make you eventually self-sufficient. That not only gets them off the taxpayer rolls, it helps taxpayers, rolls back the Medicaid expansion, and ultimately make more of our working class citizens self-sufficient and gives them dignity for being able to afford their own health insurance.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt. And, oh, yeah, the last time that happened was Bill Clinton, a Democrat, right?
Yeah, pretty common-sense solution. It's worked before at state, federal, and local level. We should absolutely be looking at it in the health care debate as well.
Well, when Congress is more concerned about being reelected, and they want to kowtow to a small minority of people, these people that have been able to get, I mean, for them, health care was very affordable, a dollar. You know, that's pretty good, you know, if you can get away with it. And they've been able to do that. But what about the rest of the people? And after all is said and done, Akash, you know, remember, this all started with 30 million people. 30 million people that just aren't, you know, getting health care. Which is all part of the fake news narrative. But, you know, and Liz Peek reported today, she said that it's still 29 million people that are without health care. So for all this craziness and everything that we've gone through, what, for a net gain of a million people?
You know, the law is really not working. Emails are going to continue to go up. People won't be able to see their own doctor. Status quo is not answered. We think the simplest solution is let's make low-cost insurance legal again. Get rid of these regulations, repeal Obamacare's tax mandate subsidies.
That's it.
Let's move more forward in the free market.
Well, Akash, thank you so much. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.